Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and today we've got a special treat for you. We are recording our first of two shows with the 34th Infantry Red Bull Division. Currently, the Red Bulls are over at Camp Arif John Kuwait, where they're supporting Operation Spartan Shield. So again, first of two shows, and just a great opportunity to talk to our Red Bull soldiers, check in with them, see how things are going, get an update from a few of the soldiers of the command group, and see how that mission is going. So we'll get right into it today. I've got the great pleasure to bring in Sergeant Natasha New. Sergeant New has been with the Minnesota National Guard for just over 8 years. She's a fire control specialist. As a matter of fact, was the first enlisted female in the field artillery at the 101.51 and a Division II college athlete. Sergeant New, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you, and you know, we know there's a little bit of a time delay here, not only with recording, but also in the hours. We're recording here in the morning, and of course, it's evening time where you're at, and how are things going for you?
They're going really well. After about 8 months, we found a routine and enjoying ourselves.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and you know, we always like to hear a little bit about what motivates people to join the service. And, you know, here you are just after 8 years of being a member of the Minnesota National Guard, and you're in at Camp Arif John supporting Operation Spartan Shield. But what got it all started? What motivated you to join the military?
Yeah, kind of a family thing. My dad served in the Army. My brother was active duty in the Navy. My grandpa served in the Army as well and served in the Korean War. So I'm actually adopted from South Korea. And so I just kind of wanted to give back to a country that gave so much to me and gave me an amazing family.
And so obviously military service is something that isn't new to you. You grew up with it. And was it just the fact that, you know, that long lineage, did anybody pressure you? Did your dad say, hey, you got to join the Army too? What was that like for you?
No, I just said, you know, I've been a part of team sports activities, and I just always kind of had a desire to serve, and they were just a big motivating factor. But my family just kind of support me in whatever I wanted to do. So I walked into the recruiter's office and came back and told them, hey, I think I'm joining the National Guard.
Well, it sounds like that would be a recruiter's dream. I think when someone just walks in and says, hey, there's a family history here, I want to join too. So so thank you for doing that. Thanks for raising your right hand and taking that oath, and of course, for your service. So let's talk a little bit about Camp Arif John. You know, you guys have been supporting this mission for quite a few months now. You had stated that you kind of got back, you got into a routine after a little bit of time, but you know, what does it look like for you? You get up in the morning and you're there at Camp Arif John. What are you doing?
Just a couple gals and I, we go to the gym every day. Then we go get breakfast and go to work and then eat lunch and then go back to work and then rinse and repeat.
You know, that sounds
very
familiar.
We do CrossFit at nighttime, stay active, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It sounds very familiar. I know that. One, it's good to get into a routine, and you know, I think people generally use a deployment like this to, you know, maybe to get after some of those New Year's resolutions that they've been putting off for a while. So, how's the health treating you then?
Really well, actually. It was kind of nice to kind of reset, you know. Obviously, with home life, you can get busy with work and other obligations, and so it's kind of nice to get back on track in some of those fitness aspects.
And you'd mentioned CrossFit. Is that something you've been involved in a long time?
Yeah, I used to compete back in 2015 and had a little bit of a knee injury, so kind of tapered off a little bit, but it was nice to kind of get back into the groove of things here.
All right, so one of the things I have on a note about you is, you know, you go back, you grab a little bit of dinner chow or a shake from Bundy. So tell me a little bit about this recommended shake.
They have a shake called a Lift Me Up. It's pretty much like peanut butter and bananas and then some protein. But yeah, one of the people who were here before me on a similar team, they told me to go there and add blueberry, double protein, and we've been sticking with it ever since.
Well, that sounds actually pretty good. I'm going to have to try to find myself one of those. All right, you get up, you do your workout, you go to work. A typical day, wake up at 6 in the morning, you're going to bed at 10, or what does it generally look like?
I usually try to be in bed by 9 o'clock,
Okay.
2100 military time, I guess.
Yeah.
We usually get up, we leave to work out at around 5:35, so plenty of time to get ready and go eat breakfast before work.
Awesome. All right, so you've been there for a little while, and I would imagine that, obviously you got a great group of friends with you, but there must be still some things that you miss, from home. So what kind of things do you miss from being at home here?
Yeah, the obvious things are like friends, family. I have a cat back home. Otherwise, it's kind of like little things, like being able to have your own bathroom, have your own bed back. And I'm a simple person, so if I'm having a bad day, I like to usually run to Target or something. So little things like that mostly.
Yeah, but you got to be careful going to Target because you go in to buy a $5 item and you come out with a
Oh,
$100 bill, right?
yes, exactly.
What's your cat's name?
TJ.
TJ. All right. And I think missing those pets is a big part of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. We do have cats around here, but we're not supposed to touch them, so we do get to look at them, I guess.
All right, now you mentioned going to Target. You like to do a little bit of shopping. Now, do you get an opportunity to do any shopping while you're in Kuwait at all, other than going to the post exchange?
Yeah, so if we have the opportunity to do some resiliency missions, we've found the time to go off post and go to they have huge malls here, so to see the sights and then go to Avenues Mall and things like that. So they're pretty spectacular. So we've had the opportunity to do some of those things, which has been nice.
And interacting with the Kuwaiti people, great interactions. Do you guys feel pretty welcomed?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely different. They seem to be nighttime people. It's kind of funny. We'll be strolling around the mall. If it's late night, there's kids out, and seems like they hide from the heat as much as we do.
Yeah, no doubt. You don't want to be out in the middle of the day in that. What about, that transition into Kuwait from Minnesota? Going to Kuwait, I would imagine that, when you get out, you get to go to those malls. Even with some of the people working on base, maybe you've had some experiences with like the local customs or traditions. What kind of things really stick out for you?
Mostly the nighttime thing. It seems like no matter what time we drive at night, it's always busy. It's not like at home. It's you like if you were to drive that late at night at home, it's pretty dead, but it is busiest at night, it seems.
Yeah, I can imagine. And well, you're going to bed at 9 o'clock, so you don't get to experience too much of that.
Right, exactly.
All right, so you have your typical day. We've talked about all the things that you're doing. What exactly is a fire control specialist?
So what we do is we help, so I'm not doing that on this mob, but we mitigate, like at the battalion level, we shoot fire missions. So we shoot cannons and do cool stuff like that.
All right. Well, cool stuff like that. I think we can appreciate that. As we're winding down here on this segment with you, you've got a listening audience of 67 different radio stations here across Minnesota. I'm sure that you're going to share with your family that you're on Minnesota Military Radio. So what kind of message would you like to be able to deliver to your friends and family back here?
Mostly just that I miss them and that, I can't thank them enough for some love and support. Even though we're a world away, it doesn't feel like that because of all the love they poured in me. So just genuinely thank you and can't wait to see you.
Yeah, that's awesome. A great message, and I'm sure you acknowledge this, that it's tough to do your job if you don't have that great support back home, isn't it?
Agreed. Yeah, it wouldn't be the same without them.
Yeah, well, hey, Sergeant New, we appreciate you just taking a little bit of time out of your day or evening, I guess. Hopefully we didn't, get too much into your mealtime or your workout time, but thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. Hope that you have a great rest of the night and, of course, be safe. And we look forward to the big welcome home ceremony for the Red Bulls when that happens.
I appreciate it a lot. Thank you for having me.
You bet. That's Sergeant Natasha New with the 34th Infantry Division at Camp Arif John in Kuwait. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. Special show today. We are recording with Red Bull soldiers over at Camp Arif John, Kuwait. They're there in support of Operation Spartan Shield. And joining us right now, I've got a sister team. We've got Specialist Samantha Meldy and Specialist Emily Meldy. Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So I want to start with you, and I got permission. I'm going to call you all by your first name so that we don't create confusion. So, Sammy, I'm going to start with you. What motivated you to join the military?
I joined the military for the school benefits, and I have definitely, like, used those, and those have definitely been helpful in my school career. I'm going to school right now to be a nutritionist, so I'm really enjoying that, as well as when I was growing up, my grandma would talk about her brother who died in the Vietnam War, and then my grandpa also serving in the military. We're all kind of little motivations for me to join.
Well, and great family history there in the military. And so I'll turn over to Emily. You know, obviously the same family history, but what was your ultimate motivation as well?
Yes. Hello. Thank you for having me. I definitely look up to my sister a lot. And I was very inspired when she came back from her training, and I just saw how much she had grown mentally and physically, and she was like this whole new person. And definitely the school benefits helped too, but I think a big part was the lifelong friends she had made and bonds that I saw she had made during training. And so when I was 17, I decided to follow in her footsteps.
And you guys are just 2 years apart, so you had to wait for a little bit. But along the way, then, obviously, you're seeing your older sister growing and developing in this military career with the Minnesota Guard.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. And so, Sammy, I want to come back to you. What does a typical day look like for you?
A typical day for me and AJ looks like waking up early to go on a run, or sometimes a walk, and then get into work, work my shift, work with my people, collaborate, and I really enjoy the people I work with, so it's a good environment. Try to keep it positive, you know. And
yeah.
Then at some point I go to the gym, usually during my shift, and then when I get back I'll like read a book or go on a walk and FaceTime my loved ones back home. And yeah.
That's awesome. And Emily, back over to you. What about your day? What does it generally look like?
Yeah, same thing. Wake up, get ready, chat with my roommate. I walk to work. It's like a 5-minute walk. I usually pick up Starbucks on the way, which is definitely, you know, increased by the end of deployment. I've been getting it like every day. And then I get to work. So I am human resources. So I work on admin tasks, and I've been working on awards, which has been really rewarding to see my fellow peers, you know, get the awards. And then after work, I typically go for a run around the perimeter of the base or go for a quick walk. The USO has a lot, so I'll go and play some games, watch a movie. You know, me and some friends had a movie marathon, Marvel movie marathon, Star Wars. So that's what I've been doing with my time.
And do you get to see your sister much?
So currently she's traveling right now for a month. But when she was back home, we saw each other a lot. We work and live different parts of the base, but we have our weekly dinner every week, and we work out together a lot. There's a pool here, and so we swim a lot together too. And we kind of just see each other here and there whenever we can.
Well, and I think that's important. It must be nice to have, you know, family there. And so, Sammy, I'll come back to you. You know, you've got your younger sister there. Do you do like, you know, mama bear stuff, or how do you treat that with having your sister?
Yeah, I feel like I'm in a constant state of like mama bear. Like, I know my sister can handle her own and everything like that, but I just feel protective. Like, coming out here, I was, you know, prepared for, you know, anybody who's going to mess with her, they're going to have to go through me. But yeah, I always trying to make sure we're doing good mentally and stuff, checking in, like she said, having our suppers once a week and yeah, just catching up. And yeah,
so other than getting the opportunity to catch up with your sister when you can, Sammy, what else do you do with your free time when you're not working out or, you know, doing other stuff for work?
I have been going to the USO. We had some game nights towards the beginning, and kind of through our deployment at the USO. So that's really fun to get together with, like, my people, and just it's a way to meet new people because, you know, people join in. They're like, what are you playing? And, you know, we join in stuff. And then, like my sister said, we did a swimming challenge in June of, like, 20K. So we swam our laps out, and that was really nice. But, yeah, honestly, I don't really do much other than work and work out and try and hang out with my sister as much as possible. So,
well, that's not a bad schedule. And, Emily, coming back to you, I would imagine it's nice being able to hang out with your sister. You at least have a little bit of family there. But is there anything that you really miss, you know, the most about being away and not being at home here in Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I miss my family and friends, like anyone would being out here. I definitely miss the Minnesota weather. I never thought I would say I would miss, like, Minnesota winter. But I think just being at, you know, the other extreme of very hot here, I miss snow and I miss, you know, the fall of Minnesota. Like a lot of Minnesotans, being up north, my family goes up to Duluth a lot. So I miss, you know, the fresh air but up by Lake Superior. And one thing I miss a lot, I miss the simplicity of driving a car, listening to some music with friends. That's something I'm definitely never going to take for granted again back home.
Well, that's awesome. And Sammy, coming back over to you, you know, you've obviously spent some time now in Kuwait. You're doing some traveling. Any, like, local customs or traditions or things that you've experienced that you find pretty interesting?
The first thing that comes to mind is I find their driving, like, on the roads and stuff, pretty different. They drive really fast here, and they don't really care too much about, you know, like, turn signals and stuff like that and everything, but it's kind of fun for me when I get to drive off those because I kind of have a need for speed, so I'm like, ah, this feels right. I'm, like, with my people. But then also, like, their malls here, they have a really big mall culture due to, like, you know, the high temperatures for most of the year. So they stay inside and most everything is accessible. Like, there's go-kart racing in some of the malls and everything. And they're pretty packed most of the day and through the night. So, yeah.
I'll come back to you, Emily. Just real quick here, what kind of stuff are you doing in your free time?
In my free time, so Camp Arif John, it's great. They have a lot of great amenities here. Like my sister said, the pool, we love going there. We did the 20K. The USO and MWR are also really great. Lots of game nights we've had, you know, Mario Kart to, you know, anything else. And I've started learning piano here. There's a great music room. And they've got, you know, guitar. They recently got a drum set, actually. I tried that out last night. So, yeah, just hanging out.
Well, that's awesome. You know, and keep it up.
I've been able to see a couple movies off post, too. That was really nice.
Yeah, that's really neat. A good opportunity to get off post, see some of the culture out there. And so we're almost at time here. And,
sure.
And Emily, what message would you like to give back to your family, your friends that are back here in Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. Definitely a huge thank you to family and friends. The support means the world. You know, the FaceTimes, packages, encouraging texts, it all means a lot. And being here has really opened my eyes to how lucky I am for everything back home and family and friends as well. So I love you all and can't wait to see you soon.
And then I'll come back to Sammy there. And any kind of a message you'd like to give to your family, your friends back here?
I also want to give a huge thank you to my family and friends for supporting me and anything I do in life. I've grown a greater acknowledgement for everyone in my life and how thankful I am that we're able to learn from each other and grow together. I'm excited to get back and walk through life with gratitude, for sure, for each day that I get to experience and continue to gain lessons from all the people around me. Ukmagadodo, Mom, Dad, M, Sid, Jeremy, and Milo.
Well, hey, thank you so much. And Emily, Sammy, I hope that you guys have a great rest of the deployment. And I'm sure your family friends are excited to see you when you get back home.
Yes, thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, you bet. That's Specialist Samantha Meldy and her sister, Specialist Emily, Meldy, serving with our Red Bulls at Camp Arifjan. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and we have the 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Special Show going on, the first of two shows. And this segment from Camp Arifjan in Kuwait is the Deputy Commanding General Support, Brigadier General Joe Sharkey. General Sharkey, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, Doug, it's an honor to be on here today, and I look forward to the interview.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd like to call it more of a conversation than an interview, but, you know, we can call it whatever we want to call it, you know. It is wonderful to hear your voice. I hope all is well for you.
You know, it is truly a blessing. I was just, I told General Mankey, the Adjutant General of Minnesota, it's of the four deployments I've been on, this is truly a rewarding deployment.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this deployment. You know, this isn't your first deployment, obviously, but, you know, you're at Camp Arifjan in Kuwait for this thing called Operation Spartan Shield, part of Task Force Spartan. Maybe you can just kind of give us an overview of what the mission is of Task Force Spartan and what the soldiers from the 34th Infantry Division are doing.
So Task Force Spartan, it's made up of soldiers from all three components of the U.S. Armed Forces, so active duty, National Guard, Army Reservists. We come together collectively, and our main mission is to maintain the U.S. military presence and posture throughout Southwest Asia, with the defined mission to strengthen defense relationships and to build the capacity of our partner nations' militaries. Of the many missions we have, probably the most one that is very unique to us that we've been able to accomplish is the humanitarian assistance that we've provided to Gaza as Israel is engaged in their operation. So we provided over a million pounds of aid in conjunction with the U.S. Agency for International Development and the United Nations World Food Program. So that very specific mission just gives you a sample of the wide variety of activities that the Minnesota National Guard soldiers are engaged in over here in the Middle East.
And, sir, you've got, you know, over 32 years of service, a few deployments under your belt, you know, obviously a lot of experience working with the forces. What's it like, though, to have that combination of active component, guard, reserve, you know, and at that division level, having to lead, you know, soldiers in three different components?
I think what it gives me is a very unique perspective that few senior leaders have to serve in all three, because all three components, whether you're active duty in the Army Reserve or the National Guard, come with their own unique challenges. So I can relate to soldiers, warrant officers, and the commission officers on levels that just some of my peers and counterparts are unable to do just based on experience. Being on active duty is, as you know, as you were active duty, it's extremely hard. I mean, you're doing it every day. But then as I remind my active duty counterparts, you know, it's not easy when you leave your employer and your family for long durations of time, and you have to come home and reintegrate with both at the same time.
Yeah, what a great perspective. Well, let's talk a little bit about your area of responsibility. And, you know, you already mentioned about providing aid into Gaza, but what are some of the other countries that you're working with as a part of the mission?
So Task Force Spartan partners with over 15 countries here in the U.S. Central Command. That's their area of operation. I've personally have done travel and business in seven countries to date, and one more scheduled, so that'll round out eight while I've been here. For the most part, I'd say the Minnesota National Guard soldiers that have been here maybe have visited two to three countries, and that's through exercises or formal partnership exchanges that we do. One unique one being is the U.S. implementation of Women, Peace, and Security. It's an initiative by the U.S. State Department with our partner countries Our soldiers do formal exchanges and training opportunities that are mutually beneficial to women serving in the U.S. military.
Okay, General Sharkey, we got cut off there. The joys of doing radio from long distance. And before we got cut off, you were talking about the U.S. implementation of the Women, Peace, and Security Initiative across our partner countries. And hopefully you can give us a good answer on that one and we maintain a good, solid connection.
Sounds good, Doug. I'll never hear the end of it now because I'm in charge of strategic communications as part of my portfolio on this. But in all seriousness, you know, the Women, Peace, and Security Initiative, I was just talking with some soldiers we have stationed up in Jordan, and they go over every night to a Jordanian side of the base, and they practice speaking English with the Jordanian soldiers, the female soldiers in the armed forces there. And the soldiers said that was the most special experience they had on the deployment. And then another one, we put together an all-female platoon, about 40 female soldiers, and they just crushed it at a training exercise with one of our partner nations. And what it did is it demonstrated to the partner nations here in the Middle East that you have a lot of capacity in your population and in the embrace having females in the military, whether they're working in military intelligence, cyber operations, you name it. It is just a combat multiplier, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what a great way to showcase the talent that we have in our own military and, of course, within the Minnesota National Guard.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're just doing our part. And, you know, it's a U.S. priority. It's sanctioned by the U.S. State Department. And, you know, we're just here representing not only our state, our nation every day.
Now, sir, I do want to defend you just a little bit, even though we've had some issues with the communication. Now, would that still be kind of part of the plan, you know, your strategy as it relates to communications? I mean, to keep us guessing on this end, whether or not you're going to actually be on the other end or?
No, you know how it is. I mean, this is normal. I mean, but, you know, the good thing about the specifically U.S. military, we have probably multiple layers of communication. So when one goes down, we don't miss a beat when it comes to operations, because we have redundancy plans in place. So this is actually a good example of what goes on every day here with our soldiers in the Middle East. Our communication professionals are just experts doing strategic communication, space operations now, because we're in multi-domain operations. So it's truly amazing to see them at work.
Well, see, there you go. We get the opportunity to demonstrate the power of communication and the need for redundancy, as you pointed out. So let's shift gears real quick, though, because we only have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure we talk a little bit more about the 34th Infantry Division, what our Red Bull soldiers are doing, and really, what is the mission? While you are there in country, what is your mission?
Yeah, and I'll keep it very brief, knowing we're short on time. It comes down to three main priorities, and it's readiness, protection, and partnership. The readiness is to ensure we have ready people, our soldiers, airmen that are in our force, as well as their equipment, so they can respond to a wide variety of missions. That humanitarian mission that I gave an example in Gaza is one. And secondly, the protection of our force, the safety and welfare of our soldiers while they're here deployed. And then finally is the partnerships. That's the cornerstone. That is strengthening the relationships, building the capacity of our partners here in the Middle East. Some nations are high performing and some need our assistance. And that's where we come behind them and we build up their training capacity so they can be in the lead, and then, you know, we can be in the support, regardless of what the operation would be.
So, General Sharkey, as we wrap up this segment here, I'm just wondering if I can just put you on the spot and ask you, you know, you've got the listening audience in Minnesota, 67 radio stations. What message would you like to give to the citizens of Minnesota as it relates to our Red Bull soldiers?
You would be extremely proud of the soldiers that are deployed here with the 34th Infantry Division. Just under 50%, this is their first deployment, so they're, a lot of them, their first experience outside of Minnesota or the continental United States. They're working hard every day, 7 days a week, and we look forward to bringing them all home safe and sound, and they can reunite with their families and continue on with their employers. So my special thanks to all the employers out there, knowing that it's not easy to lose an employee, but they're doing the nation's work on behalf of our country. Be proud of them, because we're proud of them on this end.
And final words to your family?
I love you, and I look forward to reuniting when I get home.
Awesome.
Thanks, Doug, for that.
Yeah, you bet. This is Brigadier General Joel Sharkey. He's the Deputy Commanding General Support for the 34th Infantry Division. General Sharkey, thanks so much for spending time with us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Doug. I'll see you soon enough.
Looking forward to it. Stay safe and take care of our soldiers.
Will do.
Awesome. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, continuing the conversation with our soldiers over in at Camp Arif John in Kuwait. It's the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bull soldiers over there in support of Operation Spartan Shield. And our final guest for this show this week is Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Jeremy Peterson. He commissioned back in 2008 while attending Luther Seminary in St. Paul. Joined the Minnesota National Guard, has already deployed with the Minnesota Guard, and just great to have a chaplain back on the show. So, Chaplain, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, and it's great to be here today.
And so I'm reading through your bio, and the thing that really sticks out to me is that you are currently on your third deployment. However, it's also your third deployment to Kuwait. So you must really have this down now. You know all the ins and outs about Kuwait.
I most certainly do. In fact, I went back to nearly my same office that I was here in 2019.
It'd be really kind of concerning if you got your exact same room as well, your housing unit.
Yes. I'm on the bottom floor, not the top floor this time. So
I suppose rank has its privileges, right?
Yeah, a few, but no, it is great. It is certainly great here to continue to serve our soldiers and to provide for all of the religious needs of all of our soldiers here to keep them spiritually fit.
And so you currently serve as a Lutheran parish pastor in Nelson, Minnesota, which I'm told is near Alexandria, because honestly, I didn't know. You have a flock, so to speak, back here in Minnesota, but you also have this flock with you on this deployment, and maybe you can kind of tell us a little bit about what led you to your decision to becoming a chaplain inside of the Army when you probably could have been very content with just being a pastor in the civilian world.
Yes. While in seminary, I attended St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Minneapolis. The associate pastor was a chaplain in the Minnesota Guard, and I had ideas to join the chaplaincy reserves, but this associate pastor convinced me to join the Minnesota Guard for the great education benefits and then to serve soldiers. And 16 years later, I'm still in the Minnesota Guard and serving as a parish pastor near Alexandria, as you said. So.
And who was that person?
Chaplain Ken Harris.
Okay. Yep,
yeah.
I know him. I actually served with him way back in the day at the 682nd Engineer Battalion. So good. So we can blame him for having you join the Minnesota Guard.
You certainly can. You certainly can. And that's one of the joys I know about the Minnesota Guard. It's a small family where we get to know each other and appreciate. And just like my parish, you know, servant and shepherd in there, I get to shepherd and serve here as an Army chaplain, too.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about that, the shepherding, right? You know, you have a wide or diverse group of soldiers, and I'm assuming even more than just soldiers on that base, and you've got to provide some spiritual needs to everybody. So how do you do that? How do you provide that spiritual support and meet those needs?
Yeah, certainly. So what we do in our Corps, we have a phrase, we either perform or we provide, and so I do that two ways. First off, I perform by providing Sunday church services to those who are interested.
I follow just very much like my church back home in Minnesota, a lot of the same format. A lot of the soldiers that attend say it does remind them of home. But in the same breath, I also provide to make sure all of our soldiers' religious needs. So that's coordinating for Catholic religious support, so our Catholic soldiers can have the daily sacrament, or even we have a Friday Juma prayers for our Muslim soldiers. It's currently Rosh Hashanah right now, so there's actually a rabbi for our Jewish soldiers, and then even for Open Circle from like earth-based traditions, like Norse pagan type traditions. There's actually a religious gathering that we help to enable soldiers to make sure they can all practice their free exercise of their religious beliefs and therefore stay spiritually fit.
Anything so really?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, anything really stick out to you, you know, as you're providing this spiritual support? Anything, you know, some great experience that just really sticks out?
Yes, certainly. I think, my first deployment, 2011, 2012, I actually did my first baptisms after graduating seminary, where at Camp Bearing has this full, like, place you can do full immersion baptism, this big old bathtub pool right outside their chapel, and that was my first baptisms, either as a pastor or as a chaplain back in 2012. And now more recently, I just say it's just a simple walking with soldiers. Like a couple days ago, I was late night with a soldier doing some pastoral counseling and supporting him as he was going through a very difficult time, but just walking with soldiers in their time and offering support and care and being present. That brings a fulfillment, knowing that we are caring for all of our soldiers.
And is that really what the soldiers need? And when we talk about, you know, helping people to cope with being away, whether it's being away for the first time, multiple times, being away from something special back at home, is that really how you help them, soldiers, to cope with being away and those challenges?
Yeah, most certainly. As command chaplain, I supervise about 10 other chaplains, but for all of us, I consider that the most thing. As a Lutheran pastor, you know, I called it incarnational ministry, and frankly, what I do as a parish pastor in rural Minnesota, you know, and near Alexandria, I drink a lot of coffee and go to ball games. You know, here I view with soldiers and just visit with them and walk with them through the ups and the downs, and support is what I call, as I say, an incarnational ministry.
And so obviously important to maintain that spiritual touch. What does your day look like? You know, how do you integrate your faith in the things that you're doing? How do you maintain that front and center of your life?
Yeah, certainly. Well, as I started in seminary and continue to stay, I keep the same practices. I have a devotional booklet that I read every day. It has scripture passage and a short meditative passage. And then I also do a lot of, you know, I have a small book that has prayer petitions that I write during the week, like soldiers at, so that's the time that I lift up is in the mornings. And then, of course, more generally is a lot of journaling. I find myself journaling too, just thinking and processing feelings. And these are things that I also encourage all of our soldiers to do when they come to me, is, you know, either reading scripture and then also just journaling and just bringing the things to the Lord in prayer.
So, you know, reading, obviously, scripture is important, doing your devotionals, writing. You know, you're interacting with soldiers regularly, and you're hearing their problems. Like, who's your battle buddy? Who do you get to talk to when there's just something you need to talk about? Like, I used to always refer to Chaplain Buddy Wynn as my battle buddy. You know, do you have someone similar to that to help you throughout your days of the deployment?
Most certainly. I have not only do I have other chaplains here, especially there's a reserve chaplain who is from the adjacent unit, Chaplain Ning, that I've visited with a lot. Every Sunday night, all of us chaplains get together and we play games. It's called Nine. It's like Play Nine. It's like this card golf game that one of the chaplains brought, and so I've been playing that, or a game, every Sunday since March with some other chaplains. And so they are, you know, they start out as colleagues, but, you know, they're very much becoming friends and colleagues. and they're definitely my battle buddies. Wow. Here on this deployment.
So. Definitely important that you have that outlet as well. So we've got less than a minute now, Chaplain. I want to give you an opportunity. What kind of message of hope or encouragement do you have for those families of our deployed soldiers?
Yes, yeah, certainly. Well, I will say this deployment is definitely a marathon experience. And I told our staff a few weeks ago, we're on about mile 22 of the 26-mile marathon. We can see the finish line, but we have just a little ways to go. And, you know, these, I think, sometimes could be the hardest miles or those last miles. And so just we ask for support. Every Sunday at church, at our chapel service, I pray for those back home. And when I'm a parish pastor back in Minnesota, we always lift up those deployed, and especially, I say, families in times of separation. So I just ask our faith communities, our churches, whatever faith communities are part of, to be able to lift us in prayer. That the good Lord would be with us and that we would return home soon and safe because we will be coming home soon to our families.
Chaplain Peterson, thanks so much for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a joy to be with you today.
All right. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks to the 34th Infantry Red Bull Division for making the time for Minnesota Military Radio. Additionally, I'd like to thank our military producer, Master Sergeant Johnny Angelo, and our engineer from iHeartMedia, Zach Halverson. Be sure to join us next week as we continue our show with the Red Bull soldiers at Camp Arifjan. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.